I call this meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education on March 15th, 2021 to order. The time is 7:30 PM. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Publics Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on January 8th, 2021, and the public hearing notice on the revised contract of the school business administrator slash board secretary sent on January 27th, 2021. Notice was sent to two newspapers designated by the board, the Express Times and Huntington Review. Notice was posted on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. Notice was also sent to the clerk of Clinton Township. Can we please get attendance, Mr. Creamer?
Dr. Brasher?
Here.
Ms. Creighton?
Here.
Ms. Emery?
Present.
Dr. Grantham?
Here.
Mr. Hornick?
Here.
Ms. Kaltenbach?
Here.
Ms. Oliver?
Here.
Dr. Riamaki?
Here.
Ms. Brennan?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Dr. Grantham, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. I pledge allegiance,
to the flag of the
United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Horner, could you please be process guardian?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. First, we are opening this portion of the meeting to the public hearing on the school business administrator slash board secretary position. Mr. Creamer's original contract contracted him to work 4 days a week. He accepted the position, believing that the position did not need to work a full week. Since his arrival, Mr. Creamer has been working on average over 9 hours a day, 5, 6, 7 days a week. Mr. Creamer worked on two major projects which usually do not fall onto an interim school business administrator. The superintendent and the board believe Mr. Creamer should be compensated for a 5-day work week and not the 4 he was originally contracted. At this time, would anyone like to speak on only this topic in from the public? I see no hand raised. Brian, I don't see phone numbers either, am I correct?
Correct, you have no phone numbers and no hands.
Okay, so seeing that no one would like to speak, I am going to close the floor on that topic only. At this time, we have reached the first public comment section. If anyone in the audience would like to address the board, please click the participant button at the bottom of your screen. On the bottom right-hand side, there should be an option to raise hand. Alternately, there have been some updates and some may find that the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen when you click reactions. We will recognize you and unmute your microphone. If you could then please state your name and address. Each person will have up to 3 minutes. We will attempt to answer all questions after everyone has finished. If there are any phone numbers showing at the time of public comment, we will unmute them to allow them the option to comment since they are unable to use the other feature. This comment section will be limited to 30 minutes. Okay, so do we have, we do not have any phone numbers.
Yes, no phone numbers.
And we have no hands for public comment.
And no hands.
Okay, I am going to then close the floor to comment. If no one is going to make a comment. Okay, so. Earlier this month, Dr. Roberto sent out communication about the plan for moving the district forward to more in-class time. This goal of getting our students back has been the driving force all school year. While there was only one goal, getting there while considering the safety and well-being of students and staff was not a simple plan. The planning and sometimes replanning has been something that has been dealt with in the district every single day by our administration and staff. They have done this while continuing to provide education to our students. I will again ask that they be treated with respect and kindness. This board respects differences of opinions. However, personal attacks will not be tolerated. We are thrilled to be able to accommodate our students and provide more opportunities for in-seat learning. As we move forward with this plan, please remember that worsening COVID numbers may negatively affect our current plans. Because our region of New Jersey is in the yellow zone currently, this allows us to move this plan forward and put it into action. If we return to the orange zone, the plan will need to be adjusted. All of our actions in these coming weeks and over spring break could have an effect on our COVID levels. Our goal is to keep school open and everyone safe, so it is imperative that we all work together to stay distanced, continue to wear masks, and keep your children home if they are not feeling well. Also, please make sure to appropriately quarantine as necessary to minimize exposures. At last month's meeting, I announced that we would be taking our first steps toward our superintendent search by creating an ad hoc committee this evening. I would like to make a motion to establish the ad hoc search committee for a superintendent. I am looking for a second.
Second.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Riyamaki. Okay, so any questions? All right, can I please get a roll call vote, Mr. Kramer?
Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Creighton?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornet?
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach?
Yes.
Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Riyamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. On this committee, I am appointing Dr. Brasher as chair, Ms. Kaltenbach, Mr. Hornick, and myself as members. Lastly, as a housekeeping item, I'd like to remind board members to complete your ethics disclosure form as soon as possible. Also, please make sure to complete your yearly mandated training. And with that, I will now hand it over to you, Dr. Roberto, for your superintendent's report.
Thank you. First, as I do at every meeting, I'd like to make some acknowledgments. The first item are grade six students. Our grade six students out of our flagship, the middle school, they were among 250 submissions for, on the law fair. Our sixth grade went into, their law team went into the competition, and they won first place in the New Jersey Bar Foundation competition. And now they'll prepare to present their case in front of a judge in Zoom court. So congratulations to our students, well done. And let's hope this is the beginning of a very good career in advocacy, not only for our law, but for justice in our land. Another exciting thing that happened in the middle school, in October, I had lunch with some of my students and we were talking about different things. And they were talking about contests and things that they could do. And one of our students, I said, you know, we could have, she suggested a pet contest. And I said, well, what would we call it? And she said, we'd call it the perfect pet contest. Well, it came to fruition. Ms. Cormegan, whom I've met a number of times, what a fabulous job on this perfect pet contest. You know, I know we're in COVID and I know everybody's 6 feet apart and I know you're wearing a mask, but you should try and be a superintendent for a day and visit your buildings. Even though they have masks on, you can still see their little sassy walks and they're very serious. I call them my academic giants. And they, you can see the personality in their eyes. But this bulletin board is absolutely amazing. I can't believe the talent that our students display and their engagement. And Ms. Cormegan, thank you so very much. And every day you brighten my day, my kids brighten my day with the news from the Clinton Middle School. So we are still doing things. Our kids are engaged. Friday night was a big night for me, very big night. Mr. Roberto, better known as Ron, said, are we doing anything tonight? I said, no, Ron, we're doing nothing tonight. But I'm going to virtual bingo at PMG and Round Valley. And he said, well, let's not cook. What would you like for dinner? And I said, you know, I haven't had them in about 2 years. I love French fries. What a fabulous night I had. French fries and virtual bingo. Mrs. Pearly, you have the most patience of any woman I have ever met in my whole entire career. 18 winners. Do you know how long it took us to get the all cover on bingo? And then we had to check certain numbers. They had a choice between an ice cream parlor prize or a Five Below gift certificate. And I have to tell you, they had such a good time. They were so serious with virtual bingo. And this Friday night, the Clinton Middle School will be hosting virtual bingo. So we'll get a slant as to how our adolescents handle it. It's a good time. You know, I go to all the PTA meetings. You know, please, I've asked you on numerous occasions to join your PTA. I ordered my Gertrude Hawk candy and it already was delivered 3 days later. This organization supports an awful lot of activities in our school district. And I mentioned the middle school three times. And I do want you to know that working with Ms. Hammond and Mr. Mason, we have all the plans for the end of the year. And we have our plans for graduation. And that was an exciting day for all three of us. And we haven't announced it yet, because as citizens of New Jersey, you've noticed that the governor is issuing different guidelines for in-house and out-of-house. But we are planning for an in-person graduation for our kids. And that's very, very exciting. Tonight, Mr. Kramer will present an overview of the budget for our district. One of my goals was to implement a more formalized structure into the Clinton Township School District. And the budget wasn't the first phase. But we started in September rolling over our enrollment. We opened the year with 1,213 students and we are now at 1,200. So it's a little above 1%. Some students will return, having met with the parents. Some of them, when they signed out, they just needed more full day, in-day instruction for their children, which as a parent, I totally respect, but they're very pleased with our school district. The budget started with full building review. The full building review really took place in July. Mr. Kramer and I walked the buildings, and one of the teachers very courteously approached me and said, you know, Dr. Roberto, I think we have something wrong with ventilation. And Mr. Kramer and I responded to that simple, kind request, and it cost us $100,000 to get things in place for our schools to open safely for the children, faculty, and staff. And the company you secured, Mr. Kramer, was Superior, and everybody worked with us, Mr. Bolognini and his staff, to get the repairs done. So visual inspection of your facilities did start the process. In addition to that, the supervisor of building and grounds then met with each principal. We have a very comprehensive list of repairs. Some of them are security, and you'll get more information during the public presentation in April. Then we determined our academic programs, technology to amplify learning, and of course, for our students for next year, social integration and the emotional well-being of the faculty and staff. So Mr. Kramer will give you a formal financial overview, but after meeting with each principal individually and assessing the needs, we were able to move forward with a good, solid, formal budget. And I hope the district will receive the budget well. Every superintendent approves goals for themselves in collaboration with their board and the needs of the district. I am no different than your other superintendents. I'm sure you're familiar with this process. My goals were approved publicly in October, and there are three goals. The first goal was to implement and refine the current systems, instructions, and processes within the Clinton Township School District to result in consistent communication, internal and external, establish internal operations, maintenance of facilities, the repositioning of the position of superintendent, and financial planning and financial considerations for the future of the district. The one I added was the repositioning of the position of superintendent. As I said at the last meeting, when I come into a district, I embrace the history of the district. You've had five superintendents in a short period of time. I'm not making a judgment call on that. I know some of the superintendents that did seat in the chair, and they were very capable people, and I did not reach out to any of them to hear any of the observations. I'm better off learning on my own. My second goal was to provide all students with a societal awareness of equity as it relates to their citizenship and the development of the students' global citizenship, professional learning, and offered and to the faculty and staff to heighten sensitivity and the modeling of equity as it relates to our schools and classroom environment, the modeling of equity through class discussions, appropriate resources, materials, and planned focused activities and projects. This is not a result of the past summer. These are my own professional observations as an educator. Equity does not only refer to race. There is equity for economics. And in our county, we have mobility concerning English language learners. And to the three parents that called me in the summer, this goal was based completely upon our private conversation. So this is a good time for me to implement. I talk to parents constantly. I didn't start talking to Clinton Township School District parents a month ago after the last board meeting. I've been talking to parents all year. You learn a lot talking to a parent. Parents ask you for things. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes they don't know they have it, and you explain where it is. And sometimes a parent is afraid. COVID can be a very frightening thing to a parent. I'm a grandmother, and it can be a very frightening thing for me, for my grandchildren and my children, who are many of your ages. So if you can offer someone 5 minutes, it's a gift to someone to let them know that you hear their voice. It does not mean you're caving to their demands. I've met with a number of parents in the last week, and all parents have been respectful, as I hope they saw my respectfulness to them. They have been courteous, and they have respected the position. Dialogue is a good thing. But dialogue that creates a schism in the external community is not a good thing. Because this position, while I'm sitting in it, will not get involved or be used as a volleyball back and forth. The decisions are made for the district following policies of the Board of Education, collaboration with the administrative team, teachers within their structure. That was my goal, and outside resources. My third goal was to support our staff with the implementation of instructional designs and organizations within the alternative learning schedule and the ever-evolving situation as it relates to domain two, classroom environment. I was a teacher for 18 years. I watched our teachers in Clinton Township over the summer become masters on the synchronous platform. Our children that were totally virtual were included in class discussions. Although on a Chromebook, they were included. Domain 2 on our formal observation model is the classroom environment. There are nuances our teachers were trained on to pick up children's cues while on the virtual platform. With professional learning to amplify the indicators of a highly effective classroom environment, whether it be the hybrid or the synchronous classroom configuration. So to the teachers, I congratulate them all the time, because when I came into district talking with the administrators, synchronous instruction was where we were going. And I'm happy to say, having reviewed formative assessment data and the placement of my eighth grade students to the high school, where students are following the patterns. So again, to the teachers, I thank you. Board members, I sent you updates to my formal action plans as it relates to my goals. And some of the items I will be moving forward to next year for the new superintendent, because they fit in more logically. And under the academic goal, this year, I didn't make it a formal goal, but our administrators have been very busy. They're currently reading 5 books: Bowman and Deal, Results by Schmoker, Victoria Bernhardt, Data for School Improvement, and the last book is, there were 5, Bowman and Deal. Oh, the last book was my favorite. So you want to talk about race. And that's the book we started with. Our teachers are held accountable under Achieve New Jersey by the use of data, MSGPs, SGOs. It is imperative that our teachers know how that data is used to assess their instructional processes. So this year, your administrators are getting courses in Bowman and Deal, the frameworks of an organization, Results for Rapid Improvement, Data, How We Use Data, and also the first book, How We Talk About Race. It's a very difficult topic for some people, and this is a good foundation. And now the last item I'd like to share with you is moving forward. Mr. Farkas, I'm ready when you are. All right, the name of our reopening plan was Our Road Back Together. Last week, we had our 4th or 5th meeting of the district advisory, a group that started in July, comprised of parents, teachers, a nurse, and administrators. And at that time, we developed our plan to move forward. Thank you. Before I present the presentation, when I met with parents, I met with a group of 4 good people. And I met with another parent. Those of you who send me emails, thank you. I appreciate it. But a superintendent, although it's nice to have support, as I told you the last time, and I told you in October, I don't follow social media. I'm a superintendent. I would like to use it to communicate, but I'm an interim right now and I don't feel our structure is ready for it. The new superintendent can implement that. So I do meet with parents. Think what you want. Not one parent was inappropriate. Not one. And somebody sent me a beautiful email implying that I caved to pressure. I assure you that is not the case. I don't cave. I found it to be an insult statement. Let me give you some information. The vaccines, our district 5 or 6 weeks ago had a meeting to develop the logistics. Should we be notified there are vaccines for our teachers? We have the signs ready to print. We have the location determined and we're ready to go. As soon as we find out that they have vaccines, we reached out to our district physician. We reached out to the Board of Health and it appears that there is a lack of supply. In Hunterdon County, there are 7,000 people on the wait list and they get approximately 500 doses a week. Staffing, everybody supports our teachers. Nobody supports teachers more than I do. And I'll challenge anyone to prove that. I have never met a teacher in Clinton Township that didn't have a smile on their face, highly engaged with their students, cover classes, extend the day, stand out in front of the building. And yes, they're compensated, as I am compensated, but these people are accountable to our children. Everybody supports teachers, but then they ask me about accommodations. The board knows I keep you updated every week on accommodations, and that is personal knowledge. Somebody implied, where's the furniture? Nope, we didn't have to buy storage or pay for storage units. We hid them in great places. Some of it's even in the corner of the superintendent's office, which is used as a classroom. We hid everything. Everything was taken out of the room. Again, thank you, teachers. Trailers. A very nice woman said, can't we get trailers? We would love to get trailers. But for trailers, we need licenses. We need inspections. It's not something we could turn that quickly. But I am looking into tents for September in the event something happens with distancing. Somebody implied we don't collaborate. I'm not even addressing that. We collaborate so much that my notes are ridiculous. We collaborate on a continuous basis with the physician, Department of Health, Hunterdon Medical Center, other superintendents, small groups of superintendents. And I'm an instructor at a university, and most of my students are administrators, so I can send an email to find out what's going on in many counties. Creativity. Creativity is how you expand your knowledge base, how you tap into the people who are the most creative. And that's why our group is broad-based. You would be surprised the interesting and talented suggestions people make. I would like to also offer information. Not one program in our district was canceled or not maintained. I personally, professionally, have observed small group instruction in the afternoon. I personally and professionally have observed United Arts. I've observed gym classes. I've observed nurses. That department needs to be highly regarded in our district. The formative assessment schedule has been maintained. We recognize that the assessment situation might not be the most reliable because some of our students are on the virtual platform, but we still have data. Not to classify our students, but to inform our teachers as to the potentiality of learning lost. Class assignments to allow for social distancing. We have maintained 6 feet social distancing. And to the board, as your superintendent, I would like to acknowledge your steadfastness on that maintenance of 6 feet. I did ask you 3 weeks ago, should you desire to go to 3 feet, please let me know so that we can put plans in place. We consolidated the work-family connection to assist with the financial responsibilities of that organization. Not only that, but we provide the transportation from the other schools to Round Valley. And we are supporting them because our children attend these programs. And we did not want to make any changes. We wanted things as normal as possible. We made modifications to an established schedule for transition. And that directly came from the meeting with the district advisory, because we listened and we heard. Let me assure you, nobody wants children back in school full time more than your interim superintendent. The second group that wants the children back in school full time are our teachers. Not one step along the way has anybody thwarted this transition. And our transition plan was in the elementary stages in November. People asked, well, if you had the plan, why didn't you do it in September? Very simple. Many of our students were in the hybrid model. Over a third of our students went into the virtual, to the cohort C. This fourth marking period, we are bringing 93 students back in from the virtual platform. Thank you for the confidence you have in our district. It is not misplaced. And the last item is operations. When you open in September, the same way everybody tonight is an expert on COVID, you all know the governor's probably going to change travel restrictions. The CDC is coming out next week with new guidelines. I'm sure you're aware that the yellow is based on last week's numbers, but the positivity rate is in the orange for our area. I know you know everything I know, but I can pick up a phone and call someone and have them give me an explanation and explain it to me. The parents are a vital resource. The parents are necessary. We talk to our parents. We want to hear what you have to say. People have said, survey the parents. Survey the parents as it relates to 3 feet, 6 feet. Survey the parents for a legal waiver. We get a temperature check every time we do the change in cohort. Thank you, Brian. This was the original mission. We're prepared and ready to address any emergent situation, and we have. The good news, nobody got COVID from within the district. The good news, our sanitizing protocols, in which we developed a manual based upon the criteria, was developed and we've maintained. The first time we did contact tracing, we were all anxious. Now we can do it in our sleep. The buses maintain the protocols. We have honored our children, we have honored our district, and we have honored the community at large. Not only that, but we did find the balance between the mission statement of the district as a whole and maintaining health and safety. The framework we followed was very simple. Health and safety for all students and staff is the priority. Best practices in alignment with CDC guiding principles with our collaborative partners. Respectful and individualized for children and the faculty and staff. A la accommodations. A la, we were the first district to bring children who were exhibiting difficulty during this period into school. Spruce Run maintains specialized programs. That's a value-based district, something you should be proud of, something I'm very proud of. Fluid in approach to modify the schedule. Make incremental changes, monitor, adjust, monitor, and go beyond the minimum standards. One of the items we went beyond the minimum standards was we didn't retool teachers. We didn't create classes with teachers that had general certification. We kept specialized certification, and we didn't give up on our programs, nor did we give up on our support programs. And we completed continuous due diligence. Here's where we are right now. As we move forward, it will be a measured response with weighted decision-making. And when the administrators and I get together, we do formal weighted decision-making. It's not a guess. The constants are social distancing, masks, cohorts, and yes, we are blending. Sanitizing protocols, pre-screening, staffing, no repurposing. You may see a teacher covering a class, and I appreciate and value that. We have a shortage of subs in the whole state, a tremendous shortage of subs. To address that, although we're under contract, because at one point you privatized it, we even ran an ad in the Huntington Democrat. We use data consistently, not to make all our decisions, but to point us in a direction. Consultation is consistent, and we use the space based upon our building floor plans. Somebody asked me, well, why isn't the gym used in Round Valley for a bigger class? It's not used at Round Valley because we have the after-school care there for all the schools with a maximum occupancy of 29 while maintaining 6 feet of social distancing. After they leave, that area has to be totally re-sanitized. Here are the variables. Shortage of subs, contact tracing. Outside organizations do their own contact tracing. Contact tracing for our district is in our district. New groups. When we blend the cohorts, we have new bus groups, new class groups, and new lunch groups. The lunch groups will be class groups. The bus companies assured us that they will turn seating charts in a day. And then I learned at the advisory meeting on Friday, and as I said, it's great to meet with people. I learned travel is going to be an issue in spring recess. In addition to that, I also learned about all the outside of school activities the kids are involved in. So those are two issues. Members of our district advisory. These were the people we started with in July. Last week, some additional parents wanted to come, so we invited them. But these are the people that made decisions from the beginning. These were the people that helped us get our district open. These were the people that I met with in October, met with in December, and they made a formal recommendation to go remote after winter break because we failed Thanksgiving. When you have X number of people out, it takes a hit on the operations of the school, and you have to close. And schools are still closing in our area due to COVID cases. Our partners and resources are the physician, Office of Emergency Management, Huntington County Board of Health, representatives from Huntington Medical Center, resources, Work Family Connection, Del Valle Transportation, ESC Transportation, Mashios, and District Legal Counsel. We don't have legal counsel at board meetings, but we do consult with legal counsel as things arise. I have to thank these people. Mr. Kramer, good job. School nurses, I think you know, when I broke my hip, one of the nurses called me and said, you haven't filled out your pre-screening. I said, oh, I didn't test you. I just was in the hospital. The faculty and staff, I'll work with you any day of the week. You've got it. You hit it and you did it. Same with the nurses, same with building and grounds, the supervisor, Mr. Bolognini, and staff. You got those protocols down very, very quickly. And for that, we appreciate it. The parents, thank you. We talked. Excellent. Technology. And our formal organizations, whom I meet with every month. And the ladies in central office, I have to commend you because you know I'm obsessive about certain things. And I know I can get on everyone's nerves. But that's all right. Here's a general time. We opened in September. In September, daily briefing. District advisory met July, August, October, December, March. We're a week early for this meeting because the board meeting was moved forward. Anticipated revisions to the reopening plan for the board for approval on April 25th. We'll just put any revisions in the plan. what did she gain from the previous slides and how this influences our decisions moving forward? We do not react, but we respond. The situation isn't over. It has evolved in nature, and we will continue to evolve with it. As I said before, the CDC is putting out new guidelines, very aware of the Pediatric Association 3 feet guidelines. Our board has determined not to accept the 3 feet. You've maintained consistency, due diligence for health and safety. No one is in this alone. That is why administrators reach out to parents, principals reach out to parents, and we respect parents who reach out to us. Flexibility to respond to any situation. The word advocacy. I like to think that together we advocate for our children, the faculty, staff, the family, and each other. We use data to inform formal decision-making. We are authentic, and as many times as we can individualize the situation, we complete that. As we move forward, these are the areas. Transportation, as we move forward, will have minor shifts. We're moving approximately 12 classrooms due to the large number of students coming back in from cohort C. And that is why that survey went out early. A parent can put their child in hybrid, as we stated in August, at any time, but coming back in, we wanted the raw numbers. And we received them. We have about 93 students coming back. We're looking at student flow, entry and exit, health screening. We're maintaining Qualtrics, contact tracing. The nurses are superior. Safety of facilities, meals, because we will be serving lunch as we transition to our full day, and recess, but better known as mass breaks, and physical education. And I do want you to know, our district on another level has maintained all functions of a school district. Policy review, quality single accountability continue. We're planning for curriculum revisions. And we did all mandated security drills. Okay, where are we now? You moved into the yellow. We told you when we moved in the yellow, we'll make a change in 2 weeks. We made a change. Clinton, the middle school, went away from their virtual Monday. That meant the students every other week were in school 3 days a week. We're still monitoring local data. We have other places where we go where we get the information, and the data we get on a Thursday is always a week behind. That's why we have the 2 weeks, and we wait and we hope. We don't move forward until we're ready to go. My reflection as a superintendent after the last board meeting, and I do a formal reflection every day, was maybe I didn't communicate enough. Maybe I wasn't transparent enough. And I have to tell you, I beat myself up over that. Do the weekly updates, but I didn't tell you the plan. Well, then I told you the plan. And then the nastiness came out. That you don't forget. I'm never nasty. And like I told you, I'm not bending down so low to pick up so little. Superintendents don't warrant nasties. I don't know one superintendent that I work near or far from that's not giving 110%. But this was our plan. We told you the plan. We told you what we were doing. And I was correct to do it. And you were all correct to expect me to do it. And that's the end of that. But now, as we move forward, I hope you will respect the decision-making of your district to maintain the health and safety while we get our children back into school, because we learned things at our district advisory meeting. This I'm not going to read to you verbatim. Face covering, Transportation follows all CDC guidelines, but there will be more children on the bus. Mask breaks are designated. You will get formal information from each building. The children do have breaks with masks. Next item, Brian, the classrooms. We're maintaining 6 feet of social distancing. It can handle approximately 50% of the enrollment, and that's why we're moving to larger spaces. Our teachers are going on carts. Music teachers are going on carts. The library is being used. A parent said, well, my son doesn't go in the library. Sorry, son does go in the library. No shared materials, sanitizing station, wipes. We have everything. We're repurposing room, and there will be no mixing of classes in the hall. When we say mixing of cohorts, we're talking about blending A and B. C will always be virtual. In fact, I was at a meeting last week and I asked them, because we're planning for September, will we have a virtual cohort in September? And guess what the answer was? Take a guess. It depends on the data and the information at that time. So when people say to me, oh, will you be open in September? Here's my answer. It depends on the data and the information at that time. And next week, the CDC could come out and change the guidelines. That would require a change in policy from the board. And if the board says yes, we will honor those changes and we will modify the plan again. All our buildings have floor markings. We have hand washing signs, no visitors. Firm protocols for pickup and dismissal. Water fountains will be closed, and we have ordered, we have water filling stations, and we've ordered portable sinks to go at PMG. Thank you, Brian. Health office is covered. Flow of traffic, only if they have to go to an individualized appointment. Face coverings are worn by the staff at all times. We're good, Brian. Bathrooms. Hand sanitizer, occupancy restricted, staff designated bathrooms, hallways and entrances, everybody wears a face covering. In fact, one of our regional high schools, you wear a face covering even if you're alone in an office. We're good, Brian. Ventilation, I told you we spent almost $100,000. We have generators in any room without a window in the nurse's office. We purchase additional air conditioners and they're in place. And children are supervised for hand washing and the signage. And we did ask the kids to bring small bottles and you can see them on their backpacks. We're good. No personal items can be stored. Every child uses their own items. We don't share Chromebooks. And the little kids, they monitor and they're sanitizing between use. That protocol is definitely in place. They'll be required on the bus to wear masks, sit by family. You board the bus from the back to the front. You get off from the front to the back and the drivers wash their hands and disinfect. And they have to wear face masks. And they disinfect in between and the windows are open. Arrival and dismissal, each building, the two schools, from what I understand, because we have an awful lot of parents that want to drive to school, are offering staggered pickup at the end of the day. And parents can't enter their vehicle. And this information will be disseminated to all the parents and guardians. Next one, health screening, we're using Qualtrics. If you have symptoms, please stay home, contact the nurse, and follow all the travel guidelines. Contact tracing has come back to the school district. We follow all the gate guidelines. It's confidential. And last week, our nurses sent all of us, parents and guardians, faculty and staff, the travel advisory. We're good. Lunch service. Lunch will be served in the classroom. We consult with our food provider. Snacks and lunches from home are permitted. Students can't share. Surfaces will be wiped before and after. Hands will be washed before and after. Everybody knows about all the allergy lists. And as I said, there's no sharing. Recess and mask breaks. We have a formal process and that'll be on a chart you will all get. We try to use all outdoor spaces. We eliminate all direct contact. There's no use of lockers. And we give the kids movement breaks outside the classroom because the goal is to move to a full day. All right. Security all in place. Sports, no interscholastic sports at the recommendation of our district physician. School-based activities will commence. We are doing additional in-person extra curricular activities and clubs, and they'll be expanded by the determination of each school. And here's the revision to the plan. See, we have maintained the health and safety of our entire community. We have maintained our framework, refined our structure and maintained. All systems have been tested, maintained due diligence, talked to parents. Academics maintained. You'll get that formal report after the third formative assessment period in May. You'll get it at a board meeting. We have maintained the individualization concerning the needs of our students. The goals as we return are health and safety, social integration, emotional well-being of everyone. We want our children, hopefully, to have a sense of normalcy and a point of reference for September. Cohort C, the virtual, if you're in cohort C, you will fully participate in remote instruction. That is not going away. And we are planning for September. Contrary to what people think that we didn't have a plan, we are already starting for September. All specialized programs and support, pre-K, programming for children eligible for services, and they're all adapted to meet the needs of the children. We have a focus on social and emotional learning. We monitor INRS as to how many children are referred to intervention and referrals processes. The original plan was to not implement until the fourth marking period, but we're going to start a little early. Factors from the advisory: travel, outside school activities, blending of cohorts, raw data, 93 students returning from virtual. Sorry, that's an error. Classroom movement, monitoring of CDC guidelines, local data, vaccine distribution, and change to travel advisory. New York changed last week, and we think maybe we're just projecting. We think maybe our governor may change our travel restrictions and quarantining as we move forward. You have to understand we're all citizens, but our state has a systemic initiative and teachers are essential employees. And we would love to have our teachers like Pennsylvania be the first ones to receive the vaccine. It would make it a little nicer. Here's the timeline. February 20th, we went into the yellow. On the 24th, I gave you the elements of the plan. Wasn't enough. You wanted more. So I gave you. And the fighting started. It was new information, not reactionary, and followed all CDC guidelines. March 22nd, all schools will be in C. Cohorts are still in place. Cohort C is in place. B cohort in C for all schools on Monday, the 22nd. That's this Monday. Virtual Monday is over. Work family connection is in place at RVS. Transportation from PMG and CTMS has been confirmed, but masks must be worn. The windows will be open. And next Monday, our kindergarten students will be in attendance. Both cohorts will blend next Monday. and there will be staggered pickup for dismissal for parents at PMG and RVS. The kindergarten students we want to get in, they participate in a reading program called Foundations. It's a 12-unit process. Our students have been magnificent and highly effective, as well as our students. Let's acknowledge our kids. Let's get them back in school, but let's do it right. We're so serious about Foundations that in the budget, there's money to offer a summer program in a synchronous model at the recommendation of our board to support our students, because we want to make sure they are fully prepared for first grade. That's March 22nd. Now we move forward. April 12th, the fourth marking period begins. That's after spring break. Virtual Monday ends. All schools offer in-seat instruction, virtual C cohort in place. B cohort starts. Extend the day with lunch. Extend the day with lunch. Work family in place and transportation provided. And PMG were there. That day were entered. If we go remote on April 12th, if we go remote, you can go to the next slide, Brian, thank you. If we go remote April 12th to the 16th, the students should follow the marking period schedule. And then we will go to full day with lunch. And the last thing we do is combine the cohorts. If we are open the 12th to the 16th, I will not combine cohorts that week. I won't combine them because I learned from the district advisory that I don't know who's traveling or not. And that goes for everyone, not just for the parents. So we will maintain information. We will keep you informed. But if you could back up a slide for me, Brian. This is where we are up to spring break. And then if everything holds, we will extend the full day, have lunch, and then we blend cohorts. And I don't want to blend cohorts until I know my kids haven't traveled. And that's it. I hope you respect the work of your district. I hope you see how our plan was planned many months ago. And I hope you can recognize the fact that timely data is what will make these decisions. Together we can do this. If you don't like what we did, these are good, solid decisions made collaboratively with the people necessary to make the decisions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Roberto. I am looking for a motion for 21SU24 and 21SU25.
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Grantham. Looking for a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Emery. Any questions, discussion? All right, seeing none, can I please get a roll call vote, Mr. Kramer?
Mr. Kramer, you're on mute.
I knew that. Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Creighton?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach?
I think she's trying to unmute.
Yes. Did that work?
Yes. Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Okay, and now we are going to on to the report of the business administrator, Mr. Kramer.
We have the minutes from February being approved tonight. We also have a resolution being offered for the board to adopt the tentative budget. The administration has had multiple meetings with the Finance Committee to discuss how the budget is being developed in detail and the process that leads to the public hearing. Administration has also discussed individually with each board member the process for developing the tentative budget, the needs of the district, and the process to the public hearing. The resolution authorizes the administration to provide a tentative budget to the county superintendent of schools for the review and approval. The tentative budget was developed consistent with New Jersey QSAC quality performance indicators, district policy 6220, with primary considerations to give the educational priorities as identified by the superintendent of schools, was developed to carry out the educational plan in a thorough and efficient manner, including maintaining school district facilities and to honor continuing obligations of the district. It also addressed the needs as expressed by the principals and directors, constructed consistent with the School Funding Reform Act. A request is not being made for increasing tax levy to offset health care costs or the enrollment adjustments. The resolution authorizes a withdrawal from capital reserve, maintenance reserve, and fund balance. In September of 2019, the board updated the long-range facility plan, which identified almost $17 million in facility needs throughout the district. This budget will start to address these needs in a manner which both the administration and the board believe will help support a better learning environment for the students and staff of the district. If the board is able to address the facility needs through the annual budget, there might be a possibility to delay the need for a bond referendum to address the facility issues, or at least minimize the cost of the bond issue by addressing capital needs through the current budget. The district has already refinanced the June 11 bond issue, saving the community approximately $250,000. It will also refinance the December 2011 bond issue in October 21, and which will reduce the community's tax burden by an additional $1.2 million. In taking care of many of these capital projects, we're likely to reduce future higher costs associated with repairs. The resolution authorizes the use of bank cap, which, if not used, would expire. Administration faced a couple of obstacles that we needed to do to balance our budget, and that is that we have a reduction in the contribution from the general fund balance. We lost revenue from Lebanon. The seventh graders from Lebanon will not be coming to Clinton. Of course, the annual increases to salary. Several new positions to address needs of the district, including technology and related services needs that relate to special education. We lost school choice aid. We have a new placement of a student into the state facilities. General liability insurance increases due to, in part, COVID-19, and of course, our general cost of living increases. With that said, the tax impact is estimated to be $3.25 monthly for every $100,000 of assessed value of a house in Clinton. The resolution also establishes maximum levels of spending as required. Authority authorizes the administration to advertise the tentative budget for the public hearing following state approval. There's also two additional resolutions, one relating to approving a Girl Scout project that will be performed at PMG school, and a resolution approving yoga classes to district staff at no cost to the board. Those are the four resolutions being presented.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer. I'm looking for a motion for 21BA52 through 21BA55.
Motion.
I got Dr. Grantham has the box. Looking for a second.
Second.
Thank you. It looks like Stacy got the box. Ms. Creighton, second. Okay. Any questions? Discussion?
And first of all, I want to thank Mr. Kramer for doing such a great job with the tentative budget, as well as Dr. Roberto and all of the district staff that contributed. I actually had one question, Mrs. Brennan, about the Girl Scout project. Maybe it's a comment. I'm hoping that we can acknowledge them when they're done. I'm really excited about the solar system wall. So whenever it's done, hopefully the board can acknowledge them.
Yes, it's Girl Scout Troop 8025. Maybe that night you could have your meeting at PMG. We could see the wall.
We'll definitely request them to bring some pictures.
They're excited.
If there are no other questions or comments, we roll call vote, please, Mr. Kramer.
Dr. Brasher.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yes.
Ms. Emery.
Yes.
Dr. Grantham.
Yes.
Mr. Horning.
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach.
Yes.
Ms. Oliver. Yes. Dr. Riamaki.
Yes.
Ms. Brennan.
I abstain on 54 and yes to the rest.
Passes.
Thank you. Okay, on to facilities and finance. Dr. Grantham, can I please get your report?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Brennan. So the Facilities and Finance Committee has been busy over the last month. Ms. Brennan, Dr. Brasher, and I, along with Dr. Roberto and Mr. Kramer, all met on March 11th at 4 p.m. for approximately an hour and a half. The committee reviewed the facilities and finance resolutions on tonight's agenda and is asking the full board for their approval or their support in passing these resolutions. 21FF-039, the approval of the bill lists. 21FF-40, acceptance of the monthly financial reports. 21FF-41, approval of transfers. 21FF-42, approval of the 21-22 preschool tuition rate, and 21FF-43, the authorization of the cooperative pricing agreements with NJSBA. We also had the opportunity to review the board action items that we just passed, the business administrator items. Following the February 18th, 2021 Facilities and Finance Committee meeting, we also met additionally on February 26th and again on March 8th to continue the discussions and review the budget development process. At this committee meeting, the administration furthered their review and discussions on the development process of the 21-22 budget with the committee. All department and school budgets have been completed, and we look forward to the public hearing on the 21-22 budget at the April 26, 2021 board meeting. The administration also informed the committee that 5 of the 6 audit findings that we've been discussing each month have been implemented. The last audit finding is being addressed. It will be completed before June 30th. The administration reviewed the status of the 2020-2021 financials and will be providing the committee details to the projected breakage in appropriations in the April 22nd committee meeting. Does anybody on the committee have any further elaboration on these points, or are there any other questions from other board members? All right, thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'm looking for a motion for 21FF39 through 21FF43.
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Rihamaki. Looking for a second?
Second.
Who was it? Was it Grantham? Okay, thank you, Dr. Grantham. Okay, any questions? Seeing none, Mr. Kramer, if we could please have a roll call vote.
Dr. Brasher.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yes.
Ms. Emery.
Yes.
Dr. Grantham.
Yes.
Mr. Horning.
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. We will now move on to personnel. Mr. Hornick, your report.
Personnel committee met on Wednesday, March 10th at 5 o'clock. It was Dr. Roberto, Ms. Creighton, Ms. Emery, and myself, and Ms. Brennan. And we reviewed, we started off with what was presented earlier tonight, the new contract for Mr. Kramer that was put forward. Everything was put forward originally by Dr. Roberto when she witnessed him working much more than the 4 days a week that the contract had stated for him originally. She did a lot of work behind the scenes, getting everything together, getting the comps together, and presenting it to the county superintendent for approval with two qualitative goals as well for Mr. Kramer to reach. So it was a very good discussion on that. We talked about the reviews being done, all the observations are being done, and all that will be going out and being discussed moving forward. Talked about accommodations and where we're at as a district right now with the teachers and medical care, and reasons why we have people in and out. The renewals will start showing up on the May agenda, and the transfers, any transfers will be on the May agenda. A retirement of the secretary at CTMS will be, I believe we talked about last month, we continued on that this month as well. Spring recess and travel and looking at what's going on. The garden club coming back to CTMS, which is pretty awesome, the after school activities. And we can see on the agenda as well, we have some stipends being approved. We're hoping for approval for baseball, assistant coach softball, and assistant coach cross country. So it's really exciting. Weather's getting warm. It's nice to see that we're going to be outside and getting students involved and substitute teachers. That's what I have in our notes at this time. We're looking ahead for September and what we're going to be needing as we talked about the budget and things like that. So we'll be continuing that discussion some more next month. If any of the committee members have any other things they would like to share along, or if anyone has any questions, please feel free to add. And with that, I think we're good.
Okay. I am looking for a motion for 21P113 through 21P116.
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Brasher. Looking for a second?
Second.
Oh, was that Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Thank you. Second. And also, just so you know, Mr. Kramer, Dr. Grantham had to drop off at 8:40. So she had to leave. Any questions? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Dr. Brasher.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach?
Yes.
Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. We will now move on to policy. Ms. Kaltenbach?
Yes, thank you. The policy committee met on Wednesday, March 10th. In attendance was Dr. Roberto, Dr. Brasher, Oliver, myself, and Ms. Brennan. Tonight, there are several items that are up for second reading. These are policies that were voted on at the last meeting. And again, most of these were required adoptions and adjustments based on state guidelines or legislation. In addition, this month, there are several policies up for first reading. These include policy 1620. This has changes to administrative employment contracts and public hearing requirements. My mouth's very dry. Speak right now. Policy 6440, which has minor wording changes to cooperative purchasing agreements. Policy 6470, which had some requirements for electronic fund transfer reconciliation requirements. Policy 7450, which included some definition changes for terms from property inventory requirements for the district. And policy 8561, which had some additional procurement procedures that needed to be followed for school nutritional programs. All of these are mandated changes or policy adjustments to existing policies, with the exception of 6470, which was new. These changes are keeping us up to date with state requirements and have been reviewed by our administrative team for implementation. And they're all recommended by the committee. We're also very happy to let everyone know that we will be bringing a new dress code to the board for first reading next month. We'll be providing you a rough draft beforehand. This new policy will be very inclusive and respectful of individual rights and family preferences. We're really excited about some of the inclusivity that it is included in the wording of it. And so we think it's really well written and we're very happy with it. Anybody on the committee have any elaboration or any other comments that they want to add, or are there any questions from any other board members? And I think I'm good.
All right, thank you. I am looking for a motion for 21 PR17 and 21 PR18.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Hornick. Looking for a second.
Second.
Oh, I see Ms. Creighton. Ms. Creighton, second. Okay, any questions, discussion? Seeing that, Mr. Kramer, can we please have a roll call vote?
Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Creighton?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach?
Yes.
Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. And now, last but not least, curriculum. Dr. Riamaki, could you please give us your update?
Absolutely. So the curriculum committee met for about 75 minutes on Thursday, March 11th. In attendance at the meeting were Ms. Hinkle, Ms. Ingram, Dr. Roberto, Ms. Kaltenbach, Mr. Hornick, Ms. Brennan, and myself, crowd of thousands. We read through the agenda resolutions, which you can see on the agenda include the approval of curriculum-related professional services, reimbursements for virtual trainings for our staff. It's called travel reimbursements, but you'll notice all of them are virtual. A student teacher observation, purchase of a software package related to special services, two out of district placements, a research project by Ms. Hammond, which sounds like a fantastic research topic, and the district calendar for 2021-2022, which we tabled last month. We were very pleased to be joined by Ms. Ingram, who gave us an update on the social and emotional conditions within our district based on what our nurses and counselors are observing from their services with students, staff, and families. There are some positive reports, such as students being physically healthier than in previous years. And I think we've seen that in the community, that wearing masks actually works in keeping things like colds and flu down. There are, of course, also areas where COVID is adding stress, such as increased worry and frustration. Again, things that we've observed out in the community as well. Under Ms. Ingram's leadership, the district staff is tracking both qualitative and quantitative measures of how the social and emotional conditions are changing in response to changing in-person schooling. That segued nicely into the other major topic of discussion for our meeting, the plans for increasing in-person school while maintaining equity and the health and safety of all. So I know that Dr. Roberto has done a thorough presentation on that, so I won't elaborate further other than to say that we did talk about the fact that it is contingent on remaining in the yellow range for our CALI score. And I would just note that the Hunterdon County numbers have been inching back up over the last few weeks. So please remember that these plans are contingent on that score. Do any committee members want to add anything or elaborate? Okay, that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm looking for a motion for 21 CUR 65 through 21 CUR 71.
Motion.
Thank you, Ms. Koppenbach. Looking for a second.
Second.
Oh, Ms. Oliver, thank you. Any questions or discussion? All right, seeing none, Mr. Kramer, can we please have a roll call vote?
Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Creighton?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Mr. Hornig?
Yes.
Ms. Kaltenbach?
Yes.
Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. Okay, we are now moving on to old business of the board. Does anyone have any old business?
Ms. Brennan, I have one item. On the next agenda, there will be this year's school calendar 2021 to be readopted. The last 2 days of school are early dismissal for students, and there was an error noted on that. So that calendar will be readopted.
Thank you. Anybody else for old business? We are moving on to new business. Any new business of the board?
I have some things to report from the Hunterdon County School Board meeting I recently attended. The meeting was held on Thursday, February 25th, and as the board's representative for the Hunterdon County School Board Association, I attended their virtual meeting. I'm pretty sure I saw a few other board members virtually on there as well. Some brief information was discussed to include new board and current board member trainings, our mandated trainings that we have to attend. There are multiple options available on the website to sign up for. The first being online, a self-paced online training that can be completed at any time. The second being live virtual training, which is scheduled in 3 consecutive live sessions, each lasting approximately 2 hours, and members having to attend all 3 sessions. Another option that was available this year for new board members was a comprehensive professional learning experience. So for the first time, the School Board Association has a new board program member that gives participants a unique opportunity to work in virtual small group settings with experienced veteran board members. And they would go through materials and work at their own pace, but also attend live sessions with NJSBA staff and educational experts. The NJSBA field representative mentioned 2 points, the first being the discussion to add in resolutions to our agendas for the Board of Ed to make our request to Governor Murphy that educators be given the priority for vaccines by identifying the school personnel as essential workers, which now, as many of you know, the priority has already been given. The second was the topic of the state of New Jersey applying to federal government to waive standardized testing for the current school year. And that being said, we will have to wait for the administration to accept that request, if anything. Legislative advocate mentioned Governor Murphy's fiscal year of 2022 proposal. Specific to education, the budget furthers his commitment to education, increasing Formula Aid by $578 million. And in that is highlighted to expand state investment in pre-K by $50 million, including $26 million for new programs. Also in that budget was the increase of extraordinary special education aid by $25 million and also providing $50 million in stabilization aid. The governor also announced in his budget to plan to make a full pension payment, which would mark the first time the Senate has made full contributions to pensions since fiscal year 1996. And last was a presentation on conducting board business in a pandemic. And things suggested were just that we start thinking about the future of what post-COVID meetings will look like and possibly thinking about planning for hybrid options of meetings, if possible, to continue our board meetings in the future. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Any other new business?
I just have a real quick note. I attended the Hunterdon County ESC meeting on March 9th. It was virtual. I'm the rep for that. For people in the public who don't know, the Hunterdon County ESC is the Education Services Commission. It's considered a county school district, but it's not taxpayer funded. It's actually funded by its programs. One of the major benefits for this kind of countywide district is a collaborative purchasing agreement that it can have with its partner districts, of which we are one, as well as transportation agreements. And that's where we get some of our busing from. So as one of the representatives to the Hunterdon ESC, we voted on a new budget for the new year, and they also have a new superintendent. So their former business administrator is now their new superintendent. Their former superintendent has stepped down. And so she has some really interesting ideas for new programs to generate new revenue. And so we're very excited about some of the things that she's going to bring. The campus is in Califon. You've probably driven past it and didn't even know it. It's a beautiful campus. And so that's it. Just a quick, simple meeting.
Thank you for the update. Okay. I am not seeing any additional.
So lots of meetings to report on. I attended a virtual NJSBA program on February 24th called Leading Through Chaos, which I think meant leading while chaos is going around, not chaos as a leadership style. It was led by Colonel Ash and Major Fallon from the U.S. Marine Corps, which was really interesting. And for the board members, if you look at the programming from NJSBA, there are a whole series of these programs being offered by Army and Marine personnel. It was a great opportunity to talk with board members from across the state about what districts are currently experiencing and how districts are coping and what our greatest challenges are. Lots of commonality, of course, some, you know, differences. I think Clinton Township's doing okay compared with some of our compatriots. The Marine leaders talked about how in particularly stressful environments, even simple tasks can be difficult, and that those difficulties can accumulate to the point where you have a huge amount of friction. And I really just want to commend Clinton Township, our district professionals, Dr. Roberto and her leadership, for trying to keep that friction to a relative minimum. And again, I think we're doing okay. The human factor, they said, is critical for resiliency and success. And they then pointed to the importance of having a really strong mission and vision statement, because that's how you orient people. And they kept coming back to how you orient a 23-year-old who's just graduated from Rutgers who comes into your district. How do they know what they're supposed to be doing? So with that, I would just encourage the rest of the board, as well as the public, to view our mission statement. It is policy number 2110, and you can find it on our website, by going to the Board of Ed page and looking up our policies. And it's strong. We looked at it as part of our 5-year strategic planning process 2 years ago. And I think it's a very good mission statement. That's it.
Thank you. Okay. At this time, we've reached the second public comment section. If anyone in the audience would like to address the board, please click the participant button at the bottom of your screen. On the bottom right-hand side, there should be an option to raise hand. Alternately, there have been some updates, and some may find the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen when you click reactions. We will recognize you and unmute your microphone. If you could then please state your name and address. Each person will have up to 3 minutes. We will attempt to answer all questions once everyone has finished. If there are any phone numbers showing at the time of public comment, we will unmute them to allow them the option to comment since they are unable to use the other feature. This comment section will be limited to 20 minutes.
So you have no phone numbers.
Okay, no phone numbers.
MG, you may unmute yourself. Please state your name and address, and then you may address the board.
Hi, good evening. It's Maria Grant, 10 Cider Mill Road in Annandale. I have a series of questions for the board this evening. First, I was just curious, when policies are put online, they used to be put online with red lines so that we knew what was changing and what wasn't changing. And I was wondering if someone could share with me why that doesn't happen anymore. And then when reading the policies that are on there, I would just like to encourage the board to read them for proper pronouns for our students. There are times where they are looked at or that says he and she, and some of our students may not identify as he and she. And so therefore that probably should be looked at and corrected so that there is equity for all of our children and they feel comfortable. I'm also curious if you can ask me, answer for me, why the bills list and the transfer list are not provided anymore when the agenda comes out, and why the registration and announcement for the meetings are not on the front page as they used to be up until today, they finally came out. So I'm just curious if we can get some, I can get some answers on that. I'm just curious as to why there wasn't more of a formal presentation on the budget. I know you guys put a lot of time and effort into that budget, and there just didn't seem to be a lot of meat and potatoes that were put out for the public to look at. It would have been nice to get an understanding of the overall percentage increase that the budget for next year was. That was never mentioned. You know, and specific things that had been highlighted over the past 25 years that I've lived in Clinton Township in a more formal presentation, how many school choice students did you lose? How many dollars does that equate to? Lebanon Borough students, what does that equate to? What's the impact? What projects are you looking forward putting in the budget for next year? Maintenance projects? All those kinds of things just seem to lack tonight, where in the past that didn't lack. And then this way the public could ask questions specifically after the presentation was made. And then the board can take those questions that the public might have and then maybe reevaluate or listen to the public and maybe make changes. So I was just curious if we could get an understanding of why this presentation was so different and lacked so much more detail. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Ms. Zemrock, you may unmute yourself. Please state your name and address, and then you may address the board.
Hi, everyone. Laura Zemrock, 20 Treeline Drive. Been a long day, so I'm not sure how my video looks today. I just had a question for the board and Dr. Roberto. I'm looking at a March 5th message that was sent out regarding the plan. And I thought I was paying attention very clearly, but if anyone's able, is that March 5th correspondence the same from with the presentation that you sent today? Are the dates the same or were they changed? And actually, is the presentation going to be shared with this with the participants, or is it going to be outlined in a new format for the parents? I'm looking for clarification just for childcare issues and when all of this is going to start, because how different is it from the March 5th notification.
Aren't you nice? The items are the same, but after the district advisory meeting on Friday, and there were some concerns raised about travel during spring recess, we are holding to combine the cohorts until after we come back. And yes, to simply put, very detailed correspondence will be issued to the parents. It's nice to see you again.
Thank you. Nice to see you. I don't know how good I look right now. It's been a long day. We're doing the same
thing. I think you look very good.
Outside eating and unit lunches. So thank you for the answer.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Brian, are there any other?
I see no other hands.
Okay. I'm going to close public comment. And we will move on to, I will address the questions from Ms. Grant. I will look into the red lines. Thought we had not previously provided them, but I will double check with that. I appreciate the proper pronouns. I think that's a great idea. Bills list, transfer list, again, we will look into what was not included and on the front page. And for the budget presentation, we, you know, this is what we are doing and we are going to move forward. And there will be a formal budget presentation at our hearing on the 26th. With that, I am looking.
Mrs. Brennan, if I may, I can at least address the front page question. There were 15 attachments in addition, or there were 15 extra items in addition to the agenda to be posted. I spent so much time ensuring that all of the addendums to the agenda were linked appropriately, that it was just an oversight on my part that it didn't end up on the front page, and I apologize.
Thank you, I appreciate that. So with that, our next meeting is scheduled for April 2nd, 2021 at 7:30 p.m. And that will include the public hearing on the budget. Thank you everyone for joining us this evening. I am looking for a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Hornick. And looking for a second.
Second.
Who was that second? Was that Ms. Emery?
It's one of the Catherines.
Okay, I will take you, Ms. Emery. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The time is 9:08 p.m. Thank you all and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thanks.